heading into the Memorial Day holiday weekend. Some state lawmakers returning, and they're expected to go well into early Saturday morning to finally pass the state budget that starts July 1st. That's after the Senate late last night brought up the budget bill and ultimately approved it. Now, we thought we were going to get a budget on Wednesday. That didn't happen. And then Thursday, yesterday, we had very late action in the Senate looking at a $50.6 billion spending plan based off of $50.7 billion of your tax dollars. Welcome in Springfield's Morning News. I'm Greg Bishop on 92.7 WMAY, Springfield's News and Talk, and a lot of debate about how priorities are laid out in the state budget. And just to kind of give a broad overview here, again, increased spending for K through 12 schools, increased money for public universities. You've got the undocumented migrant health care issue that's going to be funded. What kind of cost controls will be involved? We'll hear a little bit about that coming up. But a lot of debates about partisanship in the chamber of the Illinois Senate, because they had started the session all the way back in January talking about how they wanted to have a bipartisan approach. But it turned out that the budget ultimately produced, despite Republicans in the Senate being at the table through some of the negotiations, they still did not get some of the priorities they wanted included in the budget. Again, $50.6 billion based off of $50.7 billion in spending and rather taxes. So, a little bit about $100 million of wiggle room there. But still some unknowns when it comes to other costs, including the undocumented migrant health care. Also, the cost of looming union contracts. So we'll talk a bit about those details coming up. But let's go ahead and get right on into it with some of the back and forth on the Senate floor late last night as they were debating and preparing to pass the budget. And then we'll talk a little bit about the timeline and what to expect for the remainder of the spring session that is in overtime, going into overtime expected early Saturday morning. So State Senator Chapin Rose, Republican from the Champaign area, he laid out some of his concerns, talking about priorities in the budget, and the Republican decried the lack of the Invest in Kids scholarship program being included in the Illinois state budget.
This budget's over $50 billion. We asked for less than 0.1% for kids. Your kids, our kids, everybody's kids. It's like the greatest thing. They're kids. They don't know Republicans or Democrats. They just want to go to the playground and be kids. But here's what happened. And this is the part that I'm fundamentally going to reject, because there's going to be people who say, well, it didn't expire. It doesn't expire till the fall. We can handle that in the fall. This is what I fundamentally reject. Parents this summer are going to have to decide, are they going to send their kids to a school that maybe they can afford for half a year and then get thrown out on their ear? Are they going to put their faith in the Illinois General Assembly to finally figure it out in October, November, December, I don't know, maybe sometime in January at 3 o'clock in the morning after the second semester's already started? That's why it was so important to do it now. That's why it was so important to do it now.
So that was State Senator Chapin Rose sharing that the rationale for passing some kind of extension of the Invest in Kids scholarship program, which does not use state tax money. It uses private donations that goes into a fund that groups can then disperse out to families to use for school choice. About 9,000 kids used it this past year, 40,000 or so in the 5 years that the program's been around. It gives a 75% Illinois income tax credit to those who do donate to this fund, and gives people that access to some school choice when their public schools are failing them. And the sunset kicks in at the end of this year. So the sponsors of the idea were saying that they needed to get it approved and extended this week in order to give that certainty to families because if they wait, you don't know if you're going to have just half a school year of funding or a full year school of funding. So the Invest in Kids scholarship program is not part of this. But there were other questions raised about overall priorities. State Senator Terry Bryant talked about the migrant health care costs and also the money that's going to welcoming centers for migrants and the overall cost that the state has been sending to Chicago to help fund migrant housing. Here's State Senator Terry Bryant talking about overall those costs in the Illinois state budget that taxpayers are on the hook for.
$40.2 million that will be going to the city of Chicago for asylum seekers after they asked to be named as a welcoming or sanctuary city. So that's $152 million that's going for just that priority for non-citizens. At the same time, Governor Pritzker has chosen not to make the DD community a priority for this state by taking 120 souls from Choate Mental Health and moving them to a different facility, a place that they didn't want to go, sometimes as much as 50, 60 miles away from their homes, because the money wasn't set aside to fix the problems that were at that facility.
So Senator Terry Bryant raising those concerns about the priorities for more funding to help migrants coming to the state of Illinois while not doing enough to update facilities, including the Choate facility for those with developmental disabilities. So, you know, budgets are all about priorities, right? Your family's budget, it's about priorities. Are you saving for your kids' education or are you going out on expensive vacations? So, you know, the state of Illinois obviously spells out its priorities as well with how it spends state tax dollars and how it plans to spend state tax dollars. State Senator Don DeWitt, he talked about Republican priorities that they wanted to include, and that includes changes to the estate tax, the inheritance tax. He says that essentially you got family farmers that are having to sell land when, you know, the patriarch dies. And when they die, they hand over property to their next of kin. But with Illinois' estate tax, that means that they have to pay a whole bunch of taxes on that. And ultimately, sometimes they have to sell some property. So that's something that they did not get into the budget to change the estate tax. But DeWitt also talked about how they wanted business incentives like research and development tax credits. And here's how that went.
We tried to initiate a research and development tax credit, a bill that's been in this body for 2 years now, initiated by the Illinois Manufacturers Association, one of the largest employment bases in this state. Why? To give them an opportunity to invest more money to create more products, to create more jobs, and build their businesses. And what does that do? It puts more people to work, and it puts more food on more people's tables.
And again, that proposal from the Republicans who in the Senate were at the table discussing these things. But that priority of research and development tax credits or changes to the estate tax not advancing as part of this budget. Again, $50.6 billion of spending based off of $50.7 billion in estimated revenue, the largest spending budgets in Illinois state history. And coming back, we'll hear a little bit more from Republican State Senator Jason Plummer, and then we'll hear some Democrats responding. So stay tuned. We got a lot more to get to from the overall discussion about budgets at the State House and talk a bit about the timeline and how this thing's actually going to be crossing the finish line. Talking about the 3,500-page budget that passed late in the Senate and sitting in front of Senator Jason Plummer there, you could see just how tall that budget is, and he's a tall guy. We'll hear a little more about what Senator Plummer had to say on the Senate floor, but I wanted to go back into a little bit further yesterday afternoon when they actually discussed elements of the budget in a Senate committee, and it was really the first airing of sorts of what exactly is in the spending plan to spend about $50.6 billion of your tax money as part of this overall plan based off of $50.7 billion in revenue. Now, Now, one of the things that State Senator Chapin Rose during committee, he raised was some of the unknowns that there are in this budget, including a new union contract for state employees that still has yet to be fully hashed out and agreed upon. And is that worked into the budget, or is there going to have to be some kind of supplemental to make up for whatever increase in those union contracts ultimately will be? Here's how that played out a little bit in the Senate committee yesterday.
This is going to hit us eventually, right? Presumably in 24. So is it the department's going to have to live, the departments, plural, are going to have to live within the means of this budget? Or are we anticipating another supplemental down the road whenever the contract's released?
Senator, it's not unusual for us to pass supplemental appropriations. I would anticipate, just as any fiscal year, you will have emergencies that present themselves throughout the years, just as we had a supplemental for both fiscals 23 and 22. So I would imagine if that was necessary, you would certainly see that.
I'll just go ahead and note for the record that when that comes, you've only got about $100 million in give between revenue and spend.
Again, it's a $50.6 billion spending plan based off of $50.7 billion in revenue. So the idea of passing an appropriation based off of a, quote, emergency, as Senator Sims said in defense of the budget, is it an emergency to say, oh, we've got this union contract all of a sudden? Or is it a lack of planning and a lack of budgeting that could lead to that? So that's an unknown as to how much the state employee union contract's going to impact the budget and if there's going to have to be a supplemental appropriation. Another big spending item, pensions. And the state's looking to spend about $10.2 billion on pensions. But what was the actuarial contribution that was proposed by the actuaries as to get the pension system on some kind of more level footing? Because we've got $140 billion of unfunded pension liability. So State Senator Wynn Stoller out of Peoria asking State Senator L.G. Sims about the pension costs.
So there is, we'll make the full actuarial, we'll make the full scheduled payment of $10 billion, but then there is also another $200 million that we will also make on top of the fully certified number that we're going to pay.
Okay, and do you have the amount of the actuarial estimate?
I think that is somewhere in the neighborhood of $16 billion.
So about $10.2 billion is what the budget's going to pay for public employee pensions, but the actuaries say it should be $16 billion. So some people saying that that is ultimately shorting the pensions as to how that's going to be spent on in the budget year that starts July 1st. Another issue was the cost of undocumented migrant health care. And some estimates from audits suggested it could be $1.1 billion in future year, in this coming fiscal year. And that's a $1.1 billion pinch on that $50.6 billion of proposed spending. So the budget actually spells out only a little over $500 million, and that's because of what Democrats say are going to be some cost control measures that are going to be given to the governor. But even there, still don't know the full scope of that particular line item and how much it's going to cost Illinois taxpayers. Here's the back and forth between Wynn Stoller and L.G. Sims.
Senator, I would say to you, at this point, we don't know what the expenditures will be for 24, because the cost containment measures outlined in, again, the subsequent piece of legislation have not been passed and authorized yet. But I think that we will see that you will see the final numbers when those cost containment measures are passed by rule.
So it's going to take a rule, and that could take several months for the Joint Commission on Administrative Rules to actually hash those details out. So there's a lot of unknown still in this budget proposal that did pass the Senate late last night. But it passed the Senate after some very impassioned speeches from Republicans, including, as we heard, State Senator Jason Plummer. He stood up on the Senate floor with the 3,500 pages in front of him and just kind of of shows he's a tall guy, and he laid out his concerns about how the people of Illinois, especially in his district and other downstate districts, feel like they're being slighted. They don't feel like they're being fully represented by the legislature, even though they are paying all of these taxes. Here's Senator Jason Plummer.
They don't respect our values. They don't fund our schools. They don't fund our hospitals. They don't fund our roads. We're an afterthought. And so, you know, people like me and other folks on this side of the aisle, we go back to our districts and we say, you know, there's good people in Springfield that are working hard. You know, people on both sides of the aisle, they care about everybody in Illinois. But when you look at this budget, if you're me or you're other Republicans, how do you go back to our districts and tell our people, our constituents, who are Illinoisans just like yours, it's not Republican or Democrat, they're Illinoisans. How do I tell the people that live in my district that you care about them, that the people in Springfield care about them, that their government cares about them, when this budget does nothing but disrespect them? How do you expect us to continue to do this? You laugh at people when they say they want to get away from Illinois. You pretend like you don't understand it. This budget should freaking explain it as perfectly as it needs to be explained. Your priorities are very transparent in this budget. Your unwillingness to work with us is apparent in this budget process. And it's offensive. It's offensive to Democrats. It's offensive to Republicans. People in Chicago or DuPage County or Kane County, all the way down to the Kentucky border, if they watched this process, they would be disgusted, and they should be disgusted. I mean, this is a 3,500-page bill, and the last amendment came out, what, 45 minutes ago? We finally got the bill, what, 8:30 or something? You expect us to read this? You expect us to know what's in here? We were here, we participated, and folks on your side of the aisle know that we were here, and we participated in good faith. And you still kicked our people in the teeth with this budget. How do you expect us to come back to the table in good faith next time? Is the political ambitions of the governor more important than your constituents and my constituents? Is that what this is about? Because that's what this budget tells us. We get a dog and pony show with a premature, embarrassing press conference yesterday. I don't even know what that was all about. And yet we're stuck with a budget that's not balanced. Everyone in the room knows it's not balanced. Yeah, we're going to read it's not balanced. It's not balanced. We know it's not. We set a new record in spending every year, and we could have fixed some of the real systemic problems that plague the state of Illinois. We could have gotten down the road of fixing pensions. We could have addressed some of the tax inequalities. We could have addressed the fact that, you know, pretty much everybody in this room represents counties that shrink census after census after census. Are you not embarrassed by the fact that we're like the only state in the union that shrinks all the time? I wonder why that is.
So again, that's Senator Jason Plummer sharing his thoughts about the budget process, saying that the budget is a kick in the teeth for Republicans and their constituents. But during the budget debate, you had LG Sims on the Senate floor. Essentially, you say, listen, Republicans are the party of no. I mean, that's an interesting way to kind of characterize how Sims said that they're going to vote no on this budget.
Let's talk facts. An additional $500 million in new spending, which you talk about, this is the largest budget ever. Those dollars don't just go into Republican districts. They don't go into the Democratic districts. They go into all districts. An additional $350 million is going to go into Cairo. It's going, just like it's going to go into Des Plaines. It's going to go into Mount Vernon, just like it goes into Chicago. Or we can talk about product. We are at the table. We sat at the table in good faith, but now we are hearing about non-budget issues after all of the discussions that we had, after all of the conversations that we had, and all of the things we focused on to get a good, balanced budget. Now we're talking about, now we can't vote for the budget because we didn't pass BIPA. I looked in Senate Bill 2850. I didn't see a BIPA appropriation anywhere. We are talking about the Invest in Kids program. I looked in Senate Bill 250. I didn't see an appropriation for Invest in Kids anywhere. If you don't like the budget here, you don't like the budget there, you don't like the budget near, you don't like the budget far, you won't vote today, you won't vote tomorrow, you're not going to vote anyway. So let's be clear. This budget does reflect our priorities. It reflects our shared priorities to move our state forward.
So again, the LG Sims crafting the budget behind the scenes. A lot of praise for Sims from both sides of the aisle for all the work they put together. But ultimately, the Republicans decrying the budget as lacking their priorities and only seeming to focus on Democrat priorities. And there was also all of the questions about the funding of migrant health care. State Senator Selena Villanueva later on, when they were talking about a Medicaid omnibus package after they already passed the budget, she addressed the concerns that a lot of the Republicans raised about the cost of subsidizing undocumented migrant health care.
That is continuing to try to insinuate that undocumented people deserve any less. You see a lot of things on the news that aren't correct. The $1.1 billion was an estimation that was not real money. So don't try to pin my communities and say, well, you represent different communities, because guess what? There are immigrants throughout the entire state. And I want to share something, because I think this is really imperative. One of the big issues over the course of this conversation for the past couple of months has been, well, why do they cost so much money? Because the number and the rate of cancer amongst this population is higher, because this is the first time that they've ever had access to health care.
So, of course, a lot of passion, but priorities spelled out in the budget, and it was a partisan vote in the Senate. What happens next? Well, the House gets it, and they're coming back tonight at 5 o'clock on a Friday before a holiday weekend. It's expected they'll stay in session, close out right before midnight, open back up into Saturday morning, early after midnight, and then they will pass the budget. We'll see if ultimately that does get done. But they've got until May 31st. To pass a budget with simple majorities. Democrats have the supermajority at the state house, so they can pass it even after May 31st. But the budget's supposed to start July 1st. And again, $50.6 billion based off of $50.7 billion in revenue. And looks like this thing could have a bow on it by the time we get back next week. We shall see. But a lot of other things going on at the state house, and we've got plenty more.